It's season two, plant people. Welcome back to episode 22 of
Boom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant people. Did you miss me? Because I really missed you. But I hope you had a lovely month of April and you've been enjoying this very slow awakening of spring. If you're in the Northeast, I'm talking real slow awakening because it's still been pretty cold here, but I've definitely enjoyed having the longer days and my plant babies have too. Oh, I have so many updates for you and things to tell you today, but I have such a great episode that I want to share with you. I'm going to try to do this in the shortest way possible in this intro so we can get to the goods of the episode. So, first off, Bloom and Grow Radio is launching the Bloom and Grow Garden Club. Yay! I get butterflies just thinking about it. But basically, the Garden Club is going to be my mailing list on steroids, or I guess maybe I should say extreme fertilizer for us plant people. But it's going to have an online community extension. So I created the Garden Club because I love you guys and I want to streamline my ability to communicate with you to share Bloom and Grow updates, Bloom and Grow content, and some special offers for stuff I have coming down the pike. And Instagram, with its weird algorithms, only lets you reach so many people. So by starting an email list, I'm going to be able to reach all of you when I need to. And don't worry, I promise to limit this to only once or twice a month. I'm not going to be that annoying person that's in your inbox every day because, like, I wouldn't want that for myself. So that's when not what this is going to be about. But even more exciting with the Garden Club is that I have had this vision of creating an online community of plant people where we can all go help each other and just talk plant stuff. So I had this aha moment when I unfortunately dealt with my first pest infestation 2 weeks ago. Limey got scale and I didn't know what to do. I got totally overwhelmed when I was trying to Google and find the right resource to learn how to treat him. So I took to Instagram and I sourced you guys, my best plant experts, for answers on what to do. And I was so lucky because so many of you wrote me back like almost immediately and coached me through how to help him with this outbreak of scale. But something that really resonated with me was how many of you guys were actually DMing me, asking me what the advice I got was to help you, because we all deal with scale at some point in our houseplant parent lives. So that's when it hit me. I knew that I needed to create a place where all of my plant people could go to communicate and advise each other and celebrate each other. So with the launch of the Bloom and Grow Garden Club comes the launch of the Bloom and Grow Garden Club Facebook group, where you can do things like post a picture of your plant with a pest outbreak and ask for help on how to treat it, or maybe you just bought a plant home from the nursery or rescued a plant and you don't know what it is and you need help identifying it. Or maybe you just want to like humble brag about getting your orchid to rebloom. I know that's what I'll be doing when I finally get my Phalaenopsis orchid to rebloom. I've been really struggling with that. It's just going to be a place where we can empower each other and lift each other up and talk plants and maybe make some new plant friends along the way. And maybe one day you'll turn those plant friends into plant friends in real life. Who knows? That's my dream. So when you join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club on my website, you will get a confirmation email, and the email will give you the password to get entry into the Facebook group. And also in that email is something even more exciting, a free download of a very special Bloom and Grow planty print by the one and only incredible artist Molly Mansfield. Molly is an incredible watercolor artist based out of Austin, Texas, who specializes in botanical prints, and I've been a fan of her for a really long time. You can find her at mollymansfield.com or at mollymansfieldartist on Instagram. And like I've said, I've been a huge fan of her work, and I'm just over the moon because I approached her to partner with me to make an exclusive print for the Garden Club members, and I wanted to kind of encapsulate the feeling and mission of the show in some sort of planty print, because you see them, you know, all over design websites and Instagram, and A lot of people have them. And Molly made the most beautiful print. It's basically this forest of prickly pear cacti, and all of the cacti are in various states of blooming. And it says, keep blooming above this little forest. And it's just the perfect representation of what Bloom and Grow Radio is all about. And so when you join the Garden Club, you'll get a free download of the print, which you can either print and frame like I did. I have it hanging over my workstation, or you can save it as your screensaver, or just have a pretty thing, a pretty inspiring thing to look at when you're feeling planty. So, plant friends, that's the Bloom and Grow Garden Club. I hope you'll join me. You can go to www.bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club. I realize that's kind of a mouthful, so just go to my website, bloomandgrowradio.com, and click Garden Club, and it'll take you there, and the link will also be in the show notes. So come join the fun. Speaking of my website, I also wanted to let you guys know that I wrote my first blog outside of the podcast. As you all know, I have a planty mom who is an amazing green thumb, and I've been very inspired around Mother's Day this year. I have a great Mother's Day episode that a lot of you will be starring in this season, but this blog is actually a planty Mother's Day gift guide, and it's got all sorts of really fun, interesting, unique gift ideas for your mom who has the green thumb, or maybe even your mom who isn't a green thumb but wants to incorporate some more green in her life, or if you are just a green thumb and you want to buy your mom something for Mother's Day that has to do with plants. I have some like really cool ideas for gifts. So if you're interested in taking a look at that, you can go to bloomandgrowradio.com/MD gift guide, like Mother's Day MD gift guide. And the link will be in the show notes as well. So I hope you can find something you like for your mom on that page. I want to buy my mom all the things on it. Oof, that was a lot of info, right? Okay, on to today's episode. So, windowsill herb gardens has been a very highly requested episode for me, especially I think moving into spring and summer. People in apartments still want to be able to know how to grow their own food. So today we are joined by Marianne Garceau. She is the associate director of the Garden Shop at the New York Botanical Garden. Marianne is a horticulturalist. Oh my God, I can never pronounce that word right. Horticulturalist who has spent time in several different aspects of the gardening world, from working in landscaping to owning her own orchid business to now managing the shop at the Botanical Garden. So she gives us an amazing tutorial on how to keep a windowsill herb garden and best practices for everything from setting it up properly to harvesting the growth. I set mine up immediately after my talk with her, and it is flourishing. So I'm so excited to bring you guys this episode. Also, speaking of the Botanical Garden, if you guys live in or around New York City, this upcoming weekend is the specialty plant sale at the New York Botanical Garden, and I'm actually going to be participating in it this year. So it's May 4th through 6th. I am going to be there on Saturday the 5th. The sale is actually part of this epic weekend, which features a demonstration from the Sill on Friday. Saturday, I'm going to be there in the houseplant section from 12 to 4, and I hope you'll join me for some plant shopping, because there's going to be a wider range of houseplants there in addition to lots of locally sourced herbs for these herb gardens we're all learning how to set up. And Saturday is also the third annual Plein Air Invitational at the New York Botanical Garden, which features 20 different artists that are set up around the park painting the beautiful surroundings in real time. And if you haven't been there lately, it's really just like a lovely place to spend an afternoon. So I hope you'll join me for some plant shopping on Saturday. Okay, plant friends, I know that was long. Enough shop talk. Let's get on to the show. Hi, Marianne. Thanks so much for joining us on Bloom and Grow Radio today.
You're very welcome. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so excited for your expertise on one of my most favorite topics about garden. I live for my herb garden this in the spring and summer, so I'm so excited for you to help educate us.
Well, I hope I can answer all your questions.
Yay! So, before we get into our plant chat, I would love to just know a little bit more about you, as you're a horticulturalist yourself.
I am.
And I'd love to know how you came to the profession and your path to the New York Botanical Garden.
Okay. I grew up in Denver, Colorado, and I went to school to be a forest ranger.
Oh my
And
goodness.
there were no jobs in forestry, so it was kind of a natural progression to go into horticulture. So that's where I ended up in college. I worked in the greenhouses. I started from college. I went to a city park system, and we did all the annuals and designing beds for the city park system. Then I went to a perennial grower in Colorado, a very big one, and we were a wholesale grower. And then I got pregnant and I moved out to New York with my husband. And from that point, I kind of worked part-time in different venues, gardening and helping a landscaper with his nursery. I ended up buying an orchid business in Chester, New York, and I supplied the orchids for the shop in the garden, which is how I met everyone there.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
When I sold the business, at some point in time, they needed help in the shop, and I wasn't employed, and it kind of worked together that that's how I ended up here.
Whoa. So when you were growing up in Denver, were your parents green? Did you grow up around plants? Did you have, plants or greenery in the house? What drew you to the profession?
I don't know. I lived in suburbia, and my mother always had tomatoes and herbs and flowers in the garden. And we always had a couple house plants. And I think going into college, everybody I knew always had plants in their dorm room. And you just kind of ended up having that was your lifestyle.
And how long have you been at New York Botanical Garden for?
I have been here for 6 years.
And you are the head of the shop and you source all of the wholesale plants for them, correct?
My title is Associate Director
Okay.
of the garden shop, and I do all the buying for the plants inside, outside, and the seeds, and anything green for the shop, I do the buying for.
So when I was there for the orchid exhibit, my mom and I went to buy an orchid and check out the plant shop. And I couldn't believe, number one, I feel like my listeners are always asking me about books. The book section in the house, in the plant shop, is mind-blowing. I had so much fun just looking at all the different book offerings you guys have, spanning such different aspects of horticulture. But you have such a wide and fun variety of not only plants, but any tool you could ever want. Like my mom bought the craziest planter, like 6-pot planter I'd ever seen. So do you want to talk a little bit about what the shop has to offer?
Well, like you mentioned, we have a very extensive selection of books, horticulture, gardens, anything you could possibly need according to with plants. We have a selection of tools, pots. We have all kinds of different soils that you would need. And we also have fun things. We have fragrances that are, plant-based fragrances.
Planty jewelry. You have a whole jewelry section.
Yep, we do have jewelry.
And you have a wide ver a ro excuse me, a wide array of seeds as well that I noticed.
Yes, we do have quite a number of different seeds. I have different companies. There's a vegetables from Italy. He's an Italian seed company, which is nice. And we also have, which is really fun, the Hudson Valley Seed Company, which those are all locally grown and harvested. And the artwork on the packs is from local artists, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, you had some garden gloves I have my eye on.
Yeah, we have quite a selection of garden gloves.
But really, like when I was there, I was like, everything I've ever needed for all my houseplants, fertilizer, soil, terrarium decorating stuff. Like you have such a great array. You've done such a good job curating the shop. And can people shop the shop online as well?
We do have an online shop. It's nybgshop.org.
Okay, perfect. And what does your personal plant collection look like these days in your house?
Right now, I'm very interested in begonias. So I have all
Really?
kinds of begonias in my house. Yes. My collections have changed over the years. One place I lived, I had a beautiful southern exposure, so I had a beautiful cactus collection. But then I moved and I didn't have that light anymore. So it's kind of changed with where I'm living and what kind of light I have.
Totally. I feel like with the houseplant world, it's so important knowing your light. I think that's the number one misstep everybody takes when first getting into plants.
I think you're right. Yes. It doesn't matter. Yep. It doesn't matter what you want. It's what conditions you have that allow you to grow something.
Totally. I just recently went to San Diego and toured some plant shops and was so excited and bought all these succulents and brought them back on the airplane, like in my backpack on the airplane to New
Sure.
York.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm realizing they all have etiolation. That's the word, right? When they stretch for the sun, like my apartment is just not conducive. It's not enough light for succulents. So I'm slowly accepting that, but I think that's definitely part of the urban jungle dwellers adjustment, I guess. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, Rosetta Stone.com/today. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the plant sale. You guys have such an incredible list of, I mean, incredible rare trees and all sorts of shrubbery and bird baths and so many amazing things. But what I'm really excited about is the collection of house plants you guys are going to have.
We are going to have quite a selection of house plants.
What are you most excited about sourcing it for the house plants? Do you think it'll be a large selection?
I always try and have a very large selection of houseplants. I understand that people have all different conditions, and I like to have something for everybody's situation so that we can give them a plant that will thrive where they want to put it.
Awesome. So there'll be, I'm guessing, foliage plants, succulents. I think you mentioned probably air plants as well, right?
Yes, I will have air plants. I have a lot of succulents, different succulents. I always try and have an eclectic selection of ferns and foliage plants. I try and get a lot of different foliage plants in different sizes.
So there's definitely going to be something for everyone.
There will be. We'll find something for everyone.
I'm sure. And what I am most excited about is all of the local herbs you're going to have there too.
Yes, we have. I have found the greatest grower. He's local. He's from in Orange County, and he does a terrific selection of herbs.
That's awesome. I feel like a big thing with houseplants as well is you end up, it's my understanding that you end up getting most houseplants from Florida or California, right?
That's where most of them are grown.
Right.
Actually, there's quite a few coming out of Canada now.
Right. But it's exciting when you can to shop local and to have something you feel like was, created in your local surroundings is exciting. And last year, I got all my herbs for my herb garden from like Home Depot or something. So I'm so excited at the opportunity to actually like shop and support local growers.
Yes, I think it's very important to support your local businessmen. Yes.
How many different companies do you source all your plants from for the sale?
It's between 15 and 20.
Wow. And some of, and obviously some of them local, and then probably some for the tropicals from Florida, California, Canada.
Yes, those I will get. Florida, California, Canada. There is a local New York grower that does a very nice job. He's on Long Island. A few things out of Oregon, but those are mostly outdoor things.
What are you most excited about?
Again, I like the herbs, and I'm always excited about the annuals that come because it's such a nice pop of color after a dreary long winter.
Oh my God, the longest winter.
The longest April ever.
Oh, this winter. My birthday was on April 10th, and it was sunny on April 10th, but the week surrounding my birthday is never as cold as it's been this year. I'm ready. I think everybody is just itching for spring to finally kind of come around.
I think you're right about that.
The other thing that I love with the botanical garden, I grew up in Westchester. I grew up in the suburbs of New York. And I remember we used to go to the botanical garden for like field trips. I think the last time I went was, you know, I was maybe 12 years old. And I went back this year for the orchid show, which was absolutely incredible. And you did a great job sourcing all the orchids in the shop.
Thank you.
But the thing that's so striking about the botanical garden, too, is just the grounds. Like, you forget the beauty of, like, the sheer architecture of the buildings and how beautifully landscaped all the grounds are.
Yes. It's quite, and right now with everything blooming, it's breathtaking. Every place you look, there's something different. And it's gorgeous.
Totally. And with the ticket to the plant sale, you can be on the grounds for the day, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Can we go into the exhibits? No, but we can like have a picnic on the grounds or walk around and enjoy all the outdoor stuff, right?
You can go into the exhibits, and you can walk all around the grounds. There's 250 acres that you can explore, and you could spend an entire day.
Oh my gosh, easily. I just became a member and I was like, I'm going to come and edit all my shows up here just to like have nice surroundings. It's crazy how close it is to New York City. And also for listeners who aren't in New York, obviously you can't speak for other botanical gardens, but do you know of other botanical gardens in different states that do similar sales to what you're doing?
As far as I'm aware, no. But I think all botanic gardens have figured out a way to sell something that they have growing there just to, you know, stay in business.
Right. There it is. Totally. All right. Well, I think that this is the perfect time to kind of dive into a little discussion about what I can do with my herbs once I buy them at the plant sale in a few weekends.
Okay.
And I'm so thankful for your horticultural experience. I think this is going to be the first spring summer for some houseplant parents who want to start growing their own food. So I would love your tutorial or advice for people wanting to start their own windowsill herb gardens. And this is for people with no outdoor space.
I think the most important thing is to find a window where you have at least 6 hours of light. Okay. All herbs need 6 to 8 hours of a southeast, southwest window would be perfect.
Okay.
That's going to be the most important thing. You should probably grow your herbs in a 6-inch container. So you're going to have a windowsill that will fit a 6-inch container.
Right.
And that measurement is across the top and the height of the pot. So it's a fairly substantial pot. You can get quite a nice herb in a 6-inch pot.
Right.
You buy them in a smaller pot and you transplant them into the bigger pot, into the 6-inch pot. When you transplant, you want to make sure that the soil you use has good drainage because herbs don't like to sit in water.
Right. They don't want wet feet.
Exactly. No wet feet.
Is there a specific type of soil you would recommend specifically for herbs? I know a lot of our listeners use indoor potting soil or just your general kind of potting mix.
I think an indoor potting soil is fine. Just try and stay away from garden soil because it's way too heavy and it doesn't drain well enough for herbs.
Okay. So away from garden soil. And I know some people also will just mix their own perlite into a normal soil, and people like getting fancy with the different concoctions they make.
Okay, and that's always good. The other thing I'd like to mention too is if you don't have a sunny window, you can always use artificial lighting to grow herbs.
Yes, that's actually what I'm going to be doing in my kitchen, which has no windows, to give me a little extra herb garden in addition to the one that I have on my balcony. So if anyone's interested in hearing what I did specifically with artificial lighting, stay tuned after the conversation and I'll clue you guys in.
That's a great idea. And then you can have them, with that setup, you can have them year round as opposed to just spring and summer.
Exactly. You can never have enough herbs. You're picking up what I'm putting down. So 6-inch container, well-draining potting soil. Have you grown your herbs from seed before? Do you recommend that? Is it difficult or are the seeds easy enough to kind of plant in the soil and put some saran wrap on top until they sprout and then let them just continue to grow?
You can do that. It's fairly easy to grow herbs that way. It takes longer. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of an instant gratification person, I think it's a nice idea to buy a 4-inch pot. And then in 2 weeks, you have herbs that you can harvest and use. If you're doing it from seed, you're probably looking at 30 to 45 days before you're able to harvest anything.
And in terms of in pots, do you have a recommendation between clay and glazed?
I don't think there's particularly any difference. I think personal preference is more important. Mm-hmm. Clay pots tend to breathe more, so your plants will dry out quicker. The glazing helps hold some of the moisture in. So if you're pretty good about checking your watering, I don't think it matters.
But if you maybe get distracted and might not water them for a few days, maybe glazed, but with drainage would be the way to go.
Yes, that's a good option.
Or terracotta. Because it also, depending on how much light you get and heat, that terracotta pot is going to dry out really quickly.
Yes. Yeah. Another option that you can do with the terracotta, if you're running into problems with it drying out too quickly, you could always plant it in a plastic pot and slip the plastic pot inside the terracotta. So it's you have the look you want, but it won't dry out as quickly.
Okay, so you would be taking the smaller plant home and then actually repotting that small plant just in a nursery pot that you're slipping in instead of the terracotta. Okay, that's a great suggestion. So we've got the pots, we've got the little babies in, and now they're growing. Oh, when you say 4 to 6 hours of light, does it need to be direct sunlight? Because I think in cities sometimes too, we're dealing with a lot of bright indirect light if you have a building blocking sun.
I think direct sun would be better. You will know if you don't have enough light because your plants will be stretching towards the light. And if they're stretching, it's because you don't have enough. So at that point, you have to pick a different window or use artificial lighting.
Gotcha. So the beautiful thing about herbs too, I feel like, is that they grow so quickly. Like I remember my basil last year, we like couldn't prune it back fast enough how fast it was growing. Yes. So what are your recommendations for maintenance once the plant has been repotted and has acclimated to its new environment?
You're going to make sure every time you water it that you water it thoroughly, meaning that the water comes out the bottom of the pot.
Okay.
You also want to try and fertilize probably about once a month. Herbs taste better and have better flavor if they don't have as much fertilizer. So if you're fertilizing and you have, say, for instance, a Miracle-Gro, and the box says a teaspoon per gallon of water, it's a good idea to use a half teaspoon. Just cut the recommendation in half and use that to fertilize your plant. So they'll get the nutrition they need, but it won't overpower the flavor of the herbs.
Gotcha. And only do it once a month as opposed to, I know my Miracle-Gro fertilizer says every 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah.
So only once a month. And do you recommend organic versus, you know, all natural versus the synthetic ones for plants?
I don't think it particularly makes a difference. I think that's more what your personal beliefs are.
Okay. So either one will do the trick.
Yes.
Back to watering. So water the plants thoroughly. Should you be watering? Obviously, this is going to depend on your light, but the soil should continually be moist, right? You shouldn't be letting it fully dry out like a lot of houseplants.
I think if you stuck your finger in the soil, the top, you want the top to dry out, but if you go down about an inch, you want that to be lightly moist. If that's feeling dry, then it's time to water.
Okay, so like first knuckle level.
Yes.
What about pruning? Can you talk about the correct way to prune herbs? Because this is something I don't even know if I do well, but I try and do it.
Anytime you're cutting an herb, you want to make sure that you only cut a third of the plant at one time.
Okay, up to a third?
Up to a third.
Okay.
Yes. And say a basil plant, you could cut, if you have a multiple stem basil plant, like say it has six stems, you could cut two of the stems about a third of the way down. And then the next time you cut the next stems. So it's always kind of on a rotation on a plant like that.
Okay.
On something like thyme that grows very thick, just kind of give it a haircut, just a third of the plant. And then as you cut it, they get bushier, so they'll get thicker, so you have more things to cut the next time.
So pruning, number one, if your plant does grow towards the light and get leggy, prune it back and figure out its lighting situation and figure out a better lighting situation for it. And then number two, you're actually pruning the plant to make it grow bushier and actually become larger and continue to grow, right?
Yes. And as you're pruning, all those things can be used for cooking or however you want to use them.
And giving them to all your plant friends. That's my
exactly.
That's my favorite part of the harvest is sharing all my herbs with people. There's like no better gift than fresh herbs from your garden.
That is nice.
Is there a certain area on the stem, say with basil, that you're supposed to cut like above or below a leaf? Or it doesn't really matter?
It actually does matter because when plants grow, you have where the leaves come out and then you have the stem. And then the next set of leaves are above that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to cut right above where the leaves are because otherwise that stem will turn brown.
So basically wherever the leaf is, you want to cut right above the leaf to kind of let it have fresh new stem,
right.
I guess, for growth.
Yes, that's where all the new growth will come out of where those leaves are.
Okay.
So that's where you wanted it to encourage to grow.
Okay, so cut above a leaf and then take.
Yes.
And that's interesting too. I didn't know that about pruning, that you're supposed to cut a third of the plant, not just a third of the length of whatever the stem is, but also a third of the volume of however many stems there are.
Yes.
Okay. That's something I will work on this summer because I definitely wasn't living by that rule of thumb last year. Any other advice on just harvesting?
You would harvest for what you want to use it for. I think herbs are always best fresh. So if you're cooking, I probably would cut right before I'm ready to add it to cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Things like mints they're great to grow and they grow very quickly. You can use those like for fragrance and things like that. Or I know some people that pick the mint leaves and put them in water. So I think
yeah.
It's depending what you're going to use it for when you would harvest it. I think as the herbs get tired towards the end of summer, it's a good time to cut them back and maybe dry them so you have some herbs for the winter, the fall and winter.
And if you needed to say, I got overzealous and I trimmed too much, you can kind of wrap the ends in a moist towel and stick them in the fridge, right? Like that'll preserve them for a day or two.
That's yes. It
but
will.
They're going to wilt.
Keep them. Yeah, they do. They're always best to use fresh, but you can keep them for a couple days in the refrigerator.
Any other troubleshooting kind of things that come to mind that you think maybe a novice might do and you want to warn not to do or anything like that?
I think the biggest mistake people make is watering too often or watering not thorough enough.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just giving a little bit of water at the top. And that sometimes, I think a lot of people get fungus gnats from that kind of watering. So you'll see little black things flying around. And that's probably the biggest problem with herbs. Other than that, there aren't too many insects that get on them. But overwatering would be the biggest problem.
With herbs, what's your suggestion for treating fungus gnats?
Well, you know, there's a natural thing that you can... Fungus gnats are actually, they lay their eggs in the soil. Right. And I would have to look, but I think those eggs hatch about every 3 days. Mm-hmm. So you can cut a potato and put a slice of potato on the soil in your plant. And it encourages the fungus gnats to lay the eggs in that. You throw it away every day and you just keep replacing it until you've gotten rid of the fungus gnats.
Oh, that's interesting. I've definitely seen the potato slice before, but I didn't realize that's the kind of science behind it.
Yeah, because I don't think you really want to treat. You don't want to use a fungicide or something like that because you're going to eat the herbs.
What are your favorite herbs that you like to grow? And what has your experience been with them? Do you do herbs now in New York or when you were in Denver?
I actually do them outside. I'm very lucky that I have a yard, so I do my herbs outside.
Okay, nice.
I always have basil. Mm-hmm. I always have parsley. Mm-hmm. I use quite a few scented geraniums, which are actually very easy to do in a windowsill situation.
I just took cuttings of my friend's rose scented geranium and I'm obsessed with it.
It's very nice. They smell so nice and you can use them in so many things.
Like what?
Well, you can use them for teas. The other thing is potpourri. They're always nice to cut for that. And the other thing that I've heard is you can take like a bowl of sugar and you could put like the rose geranium leaf in there and then your sugar would be flavored.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun little thing.
That's awesome. My grandma had like a whole greenhouse of geranium, so I took cuttings of my friends, but they were the normal Martha Washington, that's what they call them, right? Like the normal geraniums. But I took a cutting of my friend's rose geranium kind of in honor of her, but I didn't know that there were edible uses for them. That's so interesting.
Yeah, they're very fun plants because there's so many different ones.
It's wild how many different options there are. Are you going to be selling geraniums at the plant sale?
I will have quite a few scented geraniums, yes.
Ooh, okay. That's exciting. Okay, so you did basil. What are some other common ones? Cilantro, dill?
Dill might not be that easy on a windowsill just because it tends to get big. I think some of the easiest, any of the mints, because they grow so well, you know, the peppermint, the spearmint. Mm-hmm. I actually, my grower, he does an orange mint, a pineapple mint, a lemon mint. Oh, the other one that's real fun is it's mojito mint. So, and it's a little recipe too. So when you're having your cocktails, you can just throw in your mint.
The only mint anyone should be growing is mojito mint. I will say one thing about my mint last year, and I didn't know this as a novice grower, so I'll just put this out there. Mint grows like a little psychopath. Mint is wild.
Yes, it can overtake a garden or a pot very quickly, but it's also fun because it grows so quick.
Oh, it's so fun. And there was one point it was flowering these weird purple flowers. I had no idea mint could flower. And then at one point it actually, I think because it grew so long that it was touching one of my other pots, it actually like jumped pots.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea.
Any situation.
Yeah. It's a wild, scrappy little herb. I love it. I learned a lot from that herb personally in growing it.
It makes you feel very successful as a grower.
Totally. Oh, the other two that I really enjoyed growing, I'd love your opinion for indoor, was I loved my rosemary and my sage because sage is so hardy. Do you think those would do well on a windowsill?
I think both of those would do very well. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
They both needed a lot of light. But both my rosemary and my sage like survived the first winter in New York, like in the fall, survived the first snow in the fall. Like they lasted through like November, I want to say.
Very nice. And they smell so nice too.
Yeah. The sage was great. I never cooked with sage until I started growing it. And now I will put sage in almost anything.
It's good also for like Thanksgiving and holiday meals. It's a great spice.
Totally.
Yeah.
And we were still harvesting our sage for Thanksgiving this year. It was pretty wild.
Perfect.
And what other? So you said mint. Oregano was another one we grew this year. I think oregano would work, right?
Yes, oregano would be great. Yeah.
It's kind of a trailer. Oh, my other question, something I'd like to try growing this year is lettuce. How do you feel about growing lettuce on a windowsill?
You could try. Lettuce is going to be difficult. That's one that you grow and you harvest right away and then you have to reseed it. So you're always going to have to be seeding lettuce. But once it gets hot, lettuce tends to bolt very quickly. So you could do it probably March, April, May. I wouldn't try and do it in the summer months.
What do you mean by bolt?
Bolt is when a plant sends up a flower.
Oh,
and
okay.
At that point, it becomes, as for an herb like lettuce, it becomes inedible.
Is that what my mint was doing when it flowered last year?
I don't think mint does. I think mint just gets a flower.
Right. Mint's just a little weirdo. But with with lettuce, if it flowers, then that's a sign that it's done for the season.
Yes.
Okay. So lettuce, you would have to constantly be reseeding, or spinach, right?
Exactly. It's the same thing. You have to constantly reseed it.
My mom grew kale in her outdoor garden last year, and it grew into like a bush. It was crazy. I mean, you had to keep cutting it, but the main stalk was so strong that like you could just keep cutting the leaves off and they would grow back. We had so much kale last year.
I'm not going to plant it again this year.
Yeah, but kale's too big for windowsill.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And then for listeners interested in growing tomatoes on a windowsill, you can refer back to episode 20 of Bloom and Grow Radio on how to do tomatoes on the windowsill. But do you have any opinions on that? You need like a micro dwarf, apparently.
There are varieties now that they have bred for windowsill patio gardening. So they're smaller plants that will produce the regular tomatoes.
Yeah, so, like cherry tomatoes.
Why not? There's nothing better than a fresh tomato. And if you have the basil to go with it, it's
exactly. Perfect. My windowsill is just going to be caprese salad. Like, it's just the caprese windowsill.
Nice.
This was so helpful. I'm so excited. This chat just got me so excited about what spring is going to bring for my windowsill and balcony. Can you remind us of all the information about the plant sale?
The plant sale is May 4th, 5th, and 6th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And I will be there on Saturday in the houseplant section. I can't wait. I'm so excited. And I'm just going to try my best not to leave with like 20 more plants. That's the goal. Only herbs. I'm going to buy all my herbs there, but maybe one or two plants. We'll see. All right. Awesome. Marianne, thank you so much. This was such a fabulous chat.
Well, thank you. It was very fun.
If you are interested for more information on the plant sale or just New York Botanical Garden in general, go ahead and visit www.nybg.org. And now I just wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about what I did personally for my setup in my apartment, because I'm super lucky. I have southern facing windows and a little balcony that I put herbs on in the summer, but the way my apartment is designed, I only have windows in the bedroom and living room, and my kitchen actually has no windows in it because it's kind of a walkthrough. So I wanted a small herb garden in my kitchen with stuff that I could like clip and throw right in. Like, I love putting chives in my eggs in the morning, and I wanted a place that I could have chives right next to the stove, and I wanted an option that could be year-round also. Since I had no windows in the kitchen, I decided to get a Modern Sprout grow house. Some of you know that I installed the Modern Sprout grow bar in my bookshelf in order to put more plants in my bedroom because I ran out of space, and I installed their grow light in my bookshelf, put a bunch of plants on it. It has a timer. It's super easy. So I took my obsession with Mod Sprout one more step, and I got their grow house and installed it in my kitchen. And their grow house is so cool. I'm so obsessed with it. It is this gorgeous glass house that has this beautiful brass finish, kind of brushed brass finish. It looks gorgeous and actually perfectly matches the aesthetic of my kitchen. I'll include a picture of it in the show notes. So I installed it in my kitchen. It has a 3-setting timer. I put a small, modest herb garden in there. I have chives, rosemary, and basil right now, and some mint. And
set the timer and forgot about it. It's aesthetically so beautiful in my kitchen and so incredibly functional, and it's allowed me to bring some high light herbs into my low light kitchen. And I know with apartments, that's the real issue, because even if you have eastern or northern facing windows, it's going to be hard for you to grow herbs because you're not getting that 6 to 8 hours of direct light. So if you're interested, visit modsprout.com, modsprout, and they've extended a discount to the Bloom and Grow listeners with the code B&G10, like Bloom and Grow 10, and it's going to be 10% off your purchase. So if you need to illuminate your lives, go forth and use that code. Another lighting solution, if you need something on a larger scale, like if you're growing citrus, I use the Soltec Solutions 40-watt light on my lime tree. For a larger scale, it's a super modern looking, really beautiful light with tons of lumens. And my discount code for Soltec Solutions also works. So you can visit their website, soltecsolutionsllc.com, and use my code BLOOMANDGROW15. So bloom and spell and out grow 15 for 15% off a Soltec Solutions light if you're interested. And just to let you guys know, I am an affiliate partner with both of these companies. There are two companies I really believe in. I use their stuff personally. And if you do make a purchase using one of my discount codes, Bloom and Grow actually gets a portion of the sale at no extra cost to you. So it's an awesome way for you guys to support your planty dreams and support Bloom and Grow Radio as well. And I appreciate it in advance. So go forth and grow all the food and send me the recipes, send me photos of the food that you cook from the food that you've grown. And I want to know everything. And I hope this episode was helpful. And I hope it helps you keep blooming and keep growing.
Thanks again for having a listen today. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Bloom and Grow Radio on iTunes and leave us a review. If you want to follow the Bloom and Grow journey and are interested in more plant tips, give us a follow on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio and visit www.bloomandgrowradio.com to join the email list. And please let me know what you want to hear in the future episodes. I'm here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group. So if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, Plant Friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.